All right.
We'll turn our chairs around.
No, I'm coming. Goodies? No goodies today. No goodies. No bag of tricks. I do have a little funny story though. Before I start, we were coming to church on the way to church, and somewhere along 35 there was a Saint Bernard, a big old Saint Bernard, kind of trotting down the side. He was well off the highway, but he was trotting down the side. It made me think. My dad was a route man for a diaper service many years ago, back when diaper service was popular, you know. And my dad was 6'4". He wasn't a big old guy, but he was tall and, you know, he was good size, broad shoulders. Well, he had a customer on one of his routes that every week when he went there, there was a big Saint Bernard chained to the tree out in front of the house. Of course, you could see where the dog had gone around and around and around. And so he knew that dog could only come out so far. So he'd go around that area, you know, going up there and do his delivery and everything and come back. One day, he drove up and he pulled up there and the dog wasn't there. He says, "Where's the big dog at?" You know, so he's looking around. And finally decided, well, I guess the dog's gone. So he went on up to the door. Well, about the time he got up to the door, he said it sounded like a horse coming around the house.
Oh, no.
Broom, 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 broom. Well, here come this big old Saint Bernard, and my dad just turned around and just froze, you know. He put up on the porch. That big old Saint Bernard come running up there and run right up to him, went, "Woo!" Turned around and ran off. Said it about scared him to death, but
I'd have had a heart attack.
Well, he may have. Okay. I know I'm supposed to be in Acts 5. But we're going to start off a little bit different. Okay. I'm going to get there. Don't worry. I'm going to get there. Okay? But ever since Brandon, decided that's where we were going was in Acts. And he came to me and he says, "I want you to do chapter 5. And I've always been intrigued with that story. And, you know, there's a lot to that story. But since he told me that he wanted me to do chapter 5, the Lord started dealing with me about some other things. And the more I read and the more I studied, and it just, anyway, here we go.
All right.
You know, serving the Lord is serious business. It's not something to take lightly. And it's been that way from the beginning of time. But you know, sometimes we get caught up in life and we're just going through the routines, you know, routines of life, routines of going to church, routines of going to work, routines of going to school, routines of daily life, whatever we do. We get caught up in those routines and then it's, you know, sometimes, sadly enough, God is kind of, and I'm not talking about church, I'm talking about God. Our relationship with Him is kind of sometimes can easily get pushed aside on the back burner, as we say a lot of times. But you know, our worship to God should be pure. Whenever it is, wherever we are. John 4:24 says, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. It doesn't say in flesh and in truth. You know, everything we do, especially if it's toward God, is worship. Or should be. Everything. From walking up here and putting a dollar in the pan, that's worship. And it shouldn't be taken lightly. Because what the Lord tells us and inspires us to put in that pan should be from him. Not just, oh, I think I'll put a dollar in there. Because
yeah.
That can become so easy. Even if you say, okay, I'll put $100 in there. Well, that's not any different if you're not doing it in worship to God. And that's the way it is with anything we do. Even if it's we're coming to clean the church. We come to clean the church not just because it needs it. Yes, it does. From time to time, it needs cleaning. But you know, if you commit that service that you're doing unto God, it's worship. And if you keep it that way, that's where the blessings of God come in,
yes,
is from our worship, when it's truly worship. Because if we just do whatever in our flesh, then we're just doing something. Doing something that needs to be done. But we're not worshiping. This kind of goes along with Acts 5. It's pretty strong. You go to Leviticus chapter 9, verse 23. We're going to go through chapter 10, verse 3. It says, and Moses and Aaron went into the tabernacle of the congregation and came out and blessed the people, and the glory of the Lord appeared unto all the people. And there came a fire. Now they had just been in there offering their sacrifices. And there came a fire out from before the Lord and consumed upon the altar the burnt offering and the fat, which when all the people saw, they shouted and fell on their faces. They was worshiping. Because God received their sacrifice. Because in the Old Testament, that's what the law said they were to do. But now that could become just day after day stuff too. Well, okay, we've got to offer the sacrifice.
Yeah.
Well, but are you offering it in worship to God? Because there are several places where God talks about the sacrifice being a sweet smelling savor to him. And that's what worship is.
Yeah.
Chapter 10, verse 1 says, and Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took either of them his censer and put fire therein. Now normally when they put fire in their censers, they took it off the altar. Now it doesn't say that they took it off of the altar, it just says they put fire in there. So we don't know about that. And then they put incense therein and offered strange fire before the Lord, which he commanded them not. In other words, that wasn't what he told them to do. That wasn't what they were supposed to do. And they got, in other words, they got in the flesh. Oh, we want to look good. We're going to wave our censers, you know.
Yeah.
Well, it wasn't what God told them to do at the time. Verse 2, and there went out a fire from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. Then Moses said to Aaron, he was trying to settle Aaron down because Aaron wasn't happy. Two of his two sons had just got taken by the Lord. Moses said to Aaron, This is that the Lord spake, saying, I will be sanctified in them that come nigh me, and before all the people I will be glorified. And Aaron held his peace. He knew that if he didn't, he might be next. You know, it is so important that we are careful how we worship and that we are truly worshiping. In Galatians 6, 7 through 10 says, be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whosoever or whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are the household of faith. True worship is from the heart. It's not from the mind. And you know, sadly enough, a lot of times, even when we come together at church, whoever's leading say, let's worship the Lord. Well, what's the automatic thing you do? Well, are you raising your hands and truly worshiping? Or are you just raising your hands and muttering a few words? Because muttering a few words isn't worship. And it's, can that be strange fire? And there's not a one of us among us, including myself, that hadn't said, oh, thank you, Jesus. I love you, Lord. But was I truly worshiping from my heart? Or was I offering strange fire? It's a dangerous thing. Because even though some of these things happened back in the Old Testament, we're fixing to find out it happened in the New Testament. You know, people get strange ideas and do strange things. There was a church that I knew of in the area that got into some pretty strange worship. And me and Brenda visited there one time, and we're like, We didn't go back. It wasn't too long after that that the church folded, the pastor died, some other folks that were close knit with in the church died, and the rest of the congregation were scattered. The thing that got to me was one day I was driving Lyft, and I passed by that church, and when I looked over at it, God said, only thing God said to me was strange fire, and it shook me. Strange fire. And so that's when, this was two or three years ago. But when the Lord spoke that to me, I'm like, oh man, how careful are we that we don't offer strange fire to the Lord? Yeah. 1 John 4:1 says, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. You know, no matter what we see or no matter what we hear, it's up to us to try the spirits. Say, okay, Lord, is this of you or is this of man? And if it's not of him, get away from it. I don't care who it is. Doesn't matter. If Brother Hall went off into some strange something, I'd be out of here. Serious. Serious as I can be. And we have talked many times about different things like that. Now, he's not gotten off into anything. And I'll tell you this, we check each other.
Amen.
Along with Brother Gary and Brother Brandon, we have elders meetings from time to time and we check each other. We do. We hold each other accountable. That's right. Okay, now we'll get on the lesson. In this lesson, chapter 5, I'm going to back up a little bit into chapter 4. Start with verse 32. Says, "And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but that they had all things common. And with great power..." Now, get a hold to this. "Now, and with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And great grace was upon them all. Neither was there any among them that lacked. For as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them and brought the prices of the things that were sold and laid them down at the apostles' feet. And distribution was made unto every man according as he had need." Now, the church was in unity. Their goal was to serve God. Their goal was to do whatever God wanted them to do. And they were all in one accord. They were all in serving together. And they wanted to do what God wanted them to do. And they felt like, in this unity, that God wanted them to sell their possessions and give it all, and then the apostles would disperse what everyone needed. In other words, if I needed a little, I got a little. If I needed quite a bit more, well, I got more. Whatever was needed, and they were all in unity in this matter. But then, you know, and in that, Ananias and Sapphira was in that group. They were part of that group. Yeah. Okay, then starting in chapter 5, it says, "But a certain man named Ananias and with Sapphira his wife sold a possession and kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price?" Ananias and Sapphira wanted to appear that they were in unity with everybody. And it wasn't about the fact that they wanted to keep part of the money, except for the fact that they lied to the Holy Ghost. And part of lying to the Holy Ghost was they were lying to the whole group. They were lying to everyone. But they wanted to look good. You know. It's kind of like you've heard some of these churches, Sister Cherry, when they go to take up the offer. "Well, we didn't get enough. Who's got some more?" Well, you know, here we go. Same kind of thing. I want to be seen that I'm giving. Yeah. You're not getting anything out of that other than giving your money. So they broke the unity that was in the group. They broke the unity that God was putting in them in order to look good. Instead, they were being hypocritical. Verse 4 says, whilst it remained, was it not your own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? In other words, you could have kept back part of it and nobody would have cared. But you lied. Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. And trying to look good in front of the people, they lied to the Holy Ghost. In other words, they lied to the face of God. That's all there is to it. They lied to the face of God. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost. And great fear come on all them that heard these things. I imagine. But you know, God passed immediate judgment. Just like he did what was their names? Aaron's boys. Just like he did on them. Immediately. Didn't wait. Immediately. Same way with Ananias. Then it talks about that the young men came in and wound him up, carried him out, and buried him. Well, and then in about 3 hours, here comes Sapphira. And she came in not knowing that her husband had just died and been buried. So verse 8 says, Peter answered unto her, tell me whether you sold the land for so much. And she said, yea, for so much. Then Peter immediately said to her, how is it that ye have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door, and shall carry thee out. Then she fell down straightway at his feet and yielded up the ghost. And the young men came and carried her out and buried her by her husband. They had agreed together, therefore they were punished together. You know, and it's when I've heard this preached many times over my lifetime. And, you know, just to be honest, most of the time it was, okay, it was just a story, you know. I mean, yeah, it's in the Bible and all of that. But until I just have really dwelt on exactly what was happening here and then referring back to some of the other things. And I've just referred to a couple of things all through the Bible. Korah. Could name a lot of them if I could think of them right at the moment. where God says, that's not happening. Judgment. Verse 11 says, and great fear came upon all the church and upon as many as heard these things. And by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people. And they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. And of the rest, durst no man join himself to them, but the people magnified them. And believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes, both of men and women. You know, when I got to that point, I was like, wait a minute. I want to look at how many people were saved just since the day of Pentecost. Well, Acts 2:41 says 3,000 souls that day. Then in Acts 2:47 says souls were added daily, such as should be saved. Well, how many was that? Who knows how many that was? Then Acts 4:4 says, howbeit many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. Well, how many women and children were there? Wow. And then Acts 5:14 says, And believers were added the more added to the Lord, multitudes, both men and women. Well, how many was that? I mean, we're looking at thousands of souls here added just in a short time. I don't know how many days that was between there and you know, between 2 and verse 14 of chapter 5. But through all of that, hundreds and thousands of souls were added to the church. You know, I know myself, look at, you know how we think. We think, well, back in the olden days, there wasn't that many people around. Well, there was a lot of people. This is all around us, not a very large area, around Jerusalem and, you know, probably some outlying areas there. But you're looking at thousands of souls added to the Lord daily. And you stop and think, well, how many people were there? Was it Houston? Was it New York City? A lot of people. Was it the state of Texas? Yeah, you know, your imagination can run wild with that. You know, it says, then miracles began to happen, insomuch that they brought forth sick into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. There came also a multitude out of the cities round about. How many was that? Multitude. Imagine, unto Jerusalem, bringing sick folks and them which were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed. How many?
Everyone.
Everyone. Not one was left unhealed. Not one. Well, then the religious leaders, they got all upset. Oh, man, these guys are messing up our playhouse. You know, we got a good thing going here and they are messing it up. So they got the apostles and they threw them in prison. Now, how many of the apostles did they throw in prison? I don't know. It doesn't say. It just says they took hold of the apostles. Could have been the 12. It could have been who knows. But an angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors and brought them out. And here's what he said to them. He said, here they done just been put in prison for preaching Jesus. And the angel says, go, stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life. Woo! What a commandment. And so what did they do? The next morning they went to the temple and began to teach the people in the temple. Of course, the high priest, they came wanting to bring them out, and they got the council together because they was going to bring them before the council and decide what they were going to do with these guys. Well, when they went to get them out of the prison, they weren't there. But all the doors were still closed. So when they found out what the deal was, then somebody came and said, hey, the guys that you're looking for, they're standing in the temple teaching the people. So that's where they're at. If you're looking for them again. So they arrested them again, took them before the council again, and threatened them again. And then what did Peter say? Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree. Pointed at him. He did. Him hath God exalted and it with his right hand to be a prince and a savior. for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are the witnesses of these things, and so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him. When they heard that, they were cut to the heart. Oh! And took counsel on how they could slay him. You know, the council, they wanted to kill him so that they could get things back to their little world and their little thing that they wanted to do. But then a man stood up, Gamaliel, a doctor of the law. And he said, hey, guys, be careful what you do. You know, this guy was smart, very intelligent. And he knew. He said, hey, we saw Theudas and Judas, two guys that led people astray. And many people followed them for a little while. But then they fell by the wayside and that thing dispersed, was gone both times. You know, he said, refrain from these men and let them alone. For if this counsel or this work be of men, it will come to naught. He knew that. He had already seen it happen. You know, there's many people, we hear it all the time, especially on Facebook. Oh, Facebook. And everywhere else, news, there's many people out there doing their best to tear down any ministry they can find. And you know, there's some out there I don't agree with. That don't mean necessarily mean that they're wrong. Maybe I'm wrong. Just because I don't agree, may not agree with them or some of their philosophy or whatever. But the thing is how many of these preachers and ministers over the many years have we seen fall? And I mean fall and are no more. Well, most of the time that was because they weren't doing what God wanted them to do. Or they were going against God or building their own selves. You know, God don't put up with that. He don't put up with that stuff. So be careful who you join yourself to. If you don't understand them, well, just let them alone. Because like he told them, if it's not of God, it'll eventually go away. But if it is, be careful. Because verse 39 says, but if it be of God, you cannot overthrow it, lest haply you be found even to fight against God. Man, I don't want to fight against God. And I'll put myself out there. There's been some TV evangelists and some of these guys out there that I'm like, yeah, I don't know about them. Well, no, I don't know about them, but God does. And it's not my business to decide whether they're right or they're not. That's between them and God. And if it's not of God, eventually it'll go away. And so the council agreed with him and said, okay, we'll just let them alone. And so the disciples departed, rejoicing that they had been counted worthy to suffer shame because they had beat them and then let them go. And then what did they do? Daily in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ.
Awesome.
You know, no matter what comes against us, no matter what we walk into, and sometimes we walk into things where that we didn't know we was walking into.
Right.
And we get caught unawares.
Yeah.
But that's when we've got to be in tune with the Spirit. Say, God, if I'm in the wrong place, show me the way out of here. If I'm fellowshipping with the wrong people, show me how to get away from them. Because there's devils everywhere. And there's false prophets and false teachers that try their best to lead men astray. And it's all a tool of the devil, the enemy. And if we're not in tune, you know, sometimes things look good. Ooh, I like what he's doing. Well, did you try the Spirit and make sure he's all right? Did you make sure that if your spirit is right with God, your spirit will either align with them or it won't, one way or the other. There's no in-betweens. And God, like the one verse says, God is not mocked, and he won't be mocked. He's not going to allow things to come in, and if we are watching and praying and seeking God, he will not allow us to get in the wrong place with the wrong people. And you know, sometimes you think, well, maybe I can help them. Well, you better be careful with that, because sometimes you better make sure that God intends for you to be there to try to help them. Because if he don't, if that's not his intention for you, you could get sucked in. And we don't want that.
No.
And going back to our worship, be sure that when you say, I love you, Lord, be sure that you're meaning it. Be sure that it's coming from down in here, not just words out your mouth.
Right.
And I have to tell myself that. Not today. I was going through everything, and I sat down and I at my desk, and I just began to weep, because it's like, God, I don't ever want to offer a strange fire to you. I don't want to ever offer something that's not real, that I don't mean. And that's very important. And I think it's so important in these days, because it's so loose, is the best word I can think of. You know, it's kind of like everybody says they're a Christian, but not everybody. Some of them will tell you, no, I'm going to hell. That's sad. But, yeah, most of it is because they don't know what hell is. Lord, I thank you, Jesus, for what your word that you have given me tonight to give out and for me to receive also. Lord, I ask you in Jesus' name to help us, Lord Jesus, to check ourselves, that we not offer anything strange unto you, but we offer a true praise and a true worship to you. Lord, our worship to you is not a sacrifice. It should just be a willing worship from our heart. And that's what I want mine to be. In Jesus' name, thank you, Jesus. Are there any prayer requests tonight? What's her name? Charlotte. Okay. Cherry? Right. Yeah. That's right. Linda? Oh, that's so painful. Okay, Margaret. All right, good, good, good. Yes. David Nelda. Okay. Anyone else? Okay. Now, my memory is about this long on all this. So y'all help me as we pray, okay? Lord, in the name of Jesus, Lord, you heard all these requests, and you know every one of them. You know them better than what we could ever know. And Lord, I just ask your anointing and your spirit to go to each one of these requests and heal their bodies, Lord, the ones that need healing. Lord, the one that needs ones that need salvation, Lord. Go into their homes. Give them, convict their souls, Lord Jesus, that they know that they need you. And Lord, let every person that needs a healing in their body, let them to be healed, Lord, in the name of Jesus, because we bring them up before you in the name of Jesus. And we know, Lord, that you said that if we bring them to you, that you will do it. And we believe that, Lord. And then in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Anybody else? All
right. Wonderful.
All right. Can't always have the bag of tricks.